She's our ace, our cleanup hitter, and our source for all things crew. She's Brewers reporter Sophia Minert.
No. That means hair chew.
There are other ways. I would be happy to financially contribute to avoid the peeing on the head.
Sophia Minert on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is brought to you by Ewald Automotive. Shop the Ewald Automotive Group, home of the 20-year, 200,000-mile limited warranty on all new vehicles. Visit any of their 8 locations today, in-store or online at ewaldautomotive.com. Ewald Automotive, we make it easy. Also brought to you by Century Foods. Enter to win the Spring Baseball in Arizona sweepstakes from Century Foods. Complete an entry form found in their weekly ad and bring to your local Century. No purchase necessary.
Jen has left the program. We will be getting updates on Jen in court from our court reporter, Brian D. He will be updating us as there is news, as we find out more about Jen's speeding ticket. Her court date today, allegedly going 78 in a 55. So, Sophia, we apologize if we interrupt you at any point with a special news bulletin from Brian D. But do you have any speeding tickets? Like, have you had an issue? Because, Sophia, like, we had Craig Karmazin in here earlier. Chewy has been in the car when Craig's been pulled over. It seems like he's got an issue with speeding. Jen definitely has an issue with speeding. Do you have any speeding tickets on your record?
I do, actually. I have, unfortunately, several. And I also have had to go to court to have a ticket reduced. And I was living in Madison at the time, and I think I had to go, like, out to Waukesha County to get it reduced. So I was really committed to the court process. But I'd like to think it's maturity or maybe just better luck. But I have gone a couple years now without one. But I was on a pretty good streak there where I had maybe three.
Allegedly, how fast were you
going? It was not great. It, actually, when you said the information about Jen's court case, I think mine was pretty identical, like the 78 in a 55. It was on 94. Ironically, I was going to a Brewers game. I remember that one.
Did they reduce it?
I think by going to court, I did end up getting it reduced, by the points. And then I think I still had to pay the fine, but yeah, it was a very similar situation where it was like 78, 80 and a 55. I was definitely at least 20 over, which those are the ones that they really make you pay.
I wonder what the breakdown is though, in the state, male to female, if more females get pulled over and ticketed than males. Not saying you guys are a little bit more distracted, but Craig was pulled over six times
on the same street.
Like within the last year.
Well, I don't know if it's within the last year, but it's a road home that apparently is 8-5, and every time he's been pulled over, he's been going 38. So he says that he believes it should be a 35, but he has been pulled over six times on the same street near his house.
Okay, I feel for Craig in that regard because 25 is painfully slow.
Yes, it is.
I mean, and I agree with, like, you know, school zones or obviously construction zones, things like that. You know, you should certainly slow down. But if it's just a regular street, like 25, to really go 25 is pretty slow. Like, it's painful. For an impatient person like myself, it's painful.
So going 25 wasn't that big of a deal when I was growing up, because I grew up in a small town. It's just 25 all over the place. But anytime I go back now, like when I drive through a small town, and you have to drive through Allenton to get to Horicon right when you get off of 41 there, like, you got to be careful there because they'll nail you. Or if you go in, like, I'm going into Horicon, like, I think I'm slowing down to like 25 and I'm going 40.
Well, when you're going from 55 to 25, that's slam on the brakes time.
Yeah.
That's what those little towns are all about. Sophia, I'm going to throw some names out for you. If you could give me their first quarter grade, I would appreciate it. Let's start with Travis Shaw.
I would give him a B.
Okay. Jackie,
do you want explanations?
Yeah, give me an explanation. Sure.
I don't know if he's actually interested in the explanation. I think he's interested in the grade.
No,
let's go ahead and give context.
Well, with Travis, I would just say that, the offense production has not been consistent, but it's been, I think, enough at times. I think especially in April, I think it may May was a quieter month for him offensively, but especially in April when they were really dealing with the wrath of injuries of like 16, 17 on the IL. I mean, it was just piling up every day. I would say that Travis and Avi Garcia were the two players that they legitimately asked to play every day. They were expecting a lot from them offensively. And just considering the circumstances, I think they delivered pretty well. I would also say that, you know, Travis's real strength is just his defense. He plays a really solid third base. He moves over to first base on defensive switches or, you know, all that stuff. So he does give them some versatility in that regard, the lefty bat. So I think the B would hold up.
Okay, Daniel Vogelbach.
Man, that's a tough one. Vogie, a B minus. Again, just like the offense has not been there for him. He had more opportunities in April, again, because of the injuries. He just hasn't had as many opportunities to start now over the last month. I will say this about him, though. He is such a tremendous teammate and person in the clubhouse. Just his sense of humor. He is so locked in on every pitch. He's ready to go every day. He doesn't make any excuses. Like, he's definitely the guy that you want on your team. And I do think, like, his offensive skill set, like, they really like the bat to ball. They like the two-strike approach. We just haven't seen it consistently. So hopefully he gets opportunities to do that.
We break in right now to Sophia from – sorry, Sophia. If you've got a question for Brian D., we interrupt Sophia Minnerts of the Brewers, catcher on Bally Sports Wisconsin as part of the Brewers telecasts. Brian D. has an update from Jen Latta's court appearance. Brian?
Yes, thank you, guys. I feel like Sophia, actually, right now, except I'm not dodging flying baseballs and stuff in the side studio where I'm sitting with Jen Latta. She is on hold ahead of her court date, her Zoom court date. She's very nervous, guys. She's trying to decide whether to wear her hat or not, what's going to look best on the Zoom call.
No, the hat! The former police officer told her no hat!
She's got the hat on. She's got the hat on right now. And Gabe is losing his mind, Jen. She's giggling like crazy. Now, the biggest latest development here is she reads over her paperwork and gets ready to make her argument is she really has to go to the bathroom. She has articulated that, but she is, like, the video's on. The Zoom call is on. The video is already up, so she can't leave. We have discussed me sitting in for her while she runs to the bathroom quick, but we think that might lead to other legal troubles. So she's just kind of sitting it out right now, waiting it out. We're in a really tough spot here.
Now, is
FM record one across the hall from the studio?
Is that urge because she's nervous, or because she drank too much water this morning?
She just described it to me as like before you run like a race, like if you're going to run a 5K, you've got those like butterflies in your stomach and have to go to the bathroom. And then bang, as soon as the gun goes off, it kind of goes away. I think it's more nervous as opposed to drinking too much water before the show.
Sophia Chewy, do you have any questions for our correspondent, Brian D?
I think she should run for it. Go on the lane.
Jen, Chewy thinks
and
you should run for it.
I know Jen's a gamer. She can stick it out.
And Sophia thinks you're a gamer, so you're going to stick it out. So you've got support on both sides. She's nodding and is very appreciative. So, guys, I'll let you go. Get back to Sophia, and we'll check in with further updates, hopefully, by the end of the show.
Sophia, do you have those nerves like any time they're going to come to you in the pregame or during the game when you know you're about to go on and you've got a big point to make or to set up a big story? Do those nerves still come to you and then they go away? Kind of like Brian just described, once that red light's on, they go away. Do you still get those nerves?
Truthfully, I would probably be more nervous if I saw like the police lights behind me on the interstate. Like, I'm about to get pulled over again. I think truthfully that would make me more nervous. I think there is always a little bit of that. And I think like even in a baseball game, my favorite kind of part of the day is like those maybe 10 minutes just before the game starts when players start to come out to the dugout. Even they, you can tell, they've got that little extra, the little extra juice, right, Chewy? Like, it's just, you're about to perform. And, whether guys sit there quietly, whether they're stretching, getting loose, whether they're talking amongst themselves, then they run out on the field and they really start their, stretching routine. I always love that part of the day because I think that part never goes away. So I think for us, it's live TV. It's not nearly the same as playing in a Major League Baseball game, but it's still live. There's still an element of performance involved. So I think that's what the part that you enjoy.
I used to get TMJ, not the radio station, but in your jaw for years, even after I played.
Wait, what's TMJ?
It's where you grind your teeth at night because of stress, and there's a joint in your jaw. I don't know why that's why they call it TMJ, but I would get it for probably 10 years, even after I played, when it came time to training camp. You know?
Really?
Yeah.
Just the time of year? Just your body was like, time to go.
Yeah, because I was a bear to be around probably a month before training camp, just because you've already turned the light on and you're focused and it's just so stressful. And it didn't leave me for about 10 years, which was kind of strange. Sophia, I wanted to ask you about one more player, and this might be a little bit of an incomplete, but Christian Yelich.
Well, I feel like you can really only assess May for him. Mm-hmm. I think you're right. Like, the incomplete is very fair. Because he only played in 10 games, you know, to start the season. And that's essentially nothing. So I think, you know, since he's come back, I would say almost day by day, like, there's progress. And by that, I mean the fact that he's out there every day. I think we're getting closer to the part where he's like 100% full go. You know, they are still being a little cautious with him in terms of how much they're running out there. But, you know, if you could get to a part of the season, and I think we're very close to this, of, you know, you can play Christian 13 out of 15 days. I think that's a win because, you know, Christian from the time of 2018 and 2019, he's being pitched very differently. But Christian is still getting on base a lot with walks. We have not seen the power as much as we have, but he's having really good at-bats. He's getting on base. He's still, like, seeing the ball well, and I think you're seeing that by the day it's getting better. I think there is still some catch-up happening for him of how much time he missed in April and how much start and stop there's been to his season. So I think time is, like, the best thing for Christian right now, is just knowing, like, you still have over 100 games in front of you. And I do think if you can get Christian, and I think they're very close to it, where it's like he's out there pretty much every day without any concerns about the back and not as many off days. There's still going to be some in there for him, but, you know, not as many as what we've seen up until this point. That's a good thing for everybody because it just, what it does for the lineup to have him in there, it changes things a lot.
Yeah, the only thing that, you mentioned it there, Sophia, is the power. He only has 3 extra base hits. He has 1 double, 1 triple, and 1 home run. And that to me is the big thing that's missing, because you can live, like, the .250 batting average, I think I can kind of explain away. The on-base percentage is great.
Exactly.
But it's the extra base hits, which has been such a part of his game since he's been in Milwaukee. That's the only thing that I'm raising eyebrow a little bit, but he's only played 23 games.
Mm. Exactly. And again, that's where I say that, like, you can see day by day that, like, the at-bats are getting better, I think. You know, he's seeing the ball better. Again, the on-base percentage is good. As long as he's seeing the ball and he's in a good position to hit, everything else will come for him, I think. I think time is on his side here. You know, I think they really feel like they have found things that work for his back. So just the consistency of having him in there every day, and I think for him to be in there consistently means a lot to him, too, of knowing that it's also behind you.
Sophia, we appreciate the time, and make sure over the course of the next week you take it easy on the roads. We don't need another member of the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy family ending up in a court date.
Thank you, guys. And I send my best regards to Jen. I hope that this is a favorable outcome for her in her court case.
We're all hoping for that, but I don't think we're expecting that.
I don't know. Jen can be very persuasive. She probably has a very good argument.
She's scary.
She is scary.
Thanks, Sophia.
Bye, guys. Have a great day.
Sophia Minard of the Milwaukee Brewers, catcher, Bally Sports Wisconsin, part of every Brewers telecast.